It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Joined today by the Honorable Tom Tiffany, who represents the 7th Congressional District of Wisconsin. Great to see you.
Good to be with you, Tony.
All right. Judiciary and Natural Resources Committees?
That's right.
Well, in that case, that's enough to pretty much fill up an entire day. Probably just one of those, but to be on both, that keeps you on your toes.
In fact, as we interview here today, yes, it is going to fill up my day. When we get done with our interview here, it'll be full speed ahead in both committees.
Well, I won't hopefully take too much of your time, but let's start a little background about you. And you spent some time within the cooperative side of things, a farmers cooperative, but it was the fuel side, if I remember right.
Yeah, so I grew up on a dairy farm, got an agricultural degree at UW School, UW River Falls in Wisconsin, and put it to use when I got out of college. Worked for a farm supply cooperative for about 7 years. What a great training ground to figure out all things agriculture, but also just really to learn the ropes of how to successfully run a business. I worked with some great people, and really interesting experience.
Well, dairy, a pretty good place to start when we think of Wisconsin. Easy to think about dairy. What's the pulse right now of the dairy industry in the state?
Well, as we speak, dairy prices are sliding once again, which, it seems to be the inevitable story of dairy farming going back decades. Is it's always on the roller coaster, and right now that roller coaster is going down. So the dairy farmers are really concerned about where this is going to head, and I suspect we're going to shed some more dairy farms as a result of that, unfortunately. But tough business, and of course they just came off COVID with all the stuff that went on with that, much of it unnecessary, and so always challenges.
Let's kind of segue from there. Same topic, though. It's the Milk Act, and this is on the, not on the production side, but more on the consumption side. Is that right?
Yeah, so we introduced a bill. President Biden and the Biden administration is proposing eliminating chocolate milk from school lunch programs. And we're like, hold it here. Nothing wrong with having chocolate milk. I mean, I remember back when I was a kid, every Friday we got to have chocolate milk. That was a big deal. And there's no reason for the federal government to be inserting themselves into the school lunch program like that, especially something that's nutritious like the flavored milks. And it's really unfortunate that they're doing that. And it kind of harks back to a little over a decade ago during the Obama years when Michelle Obama, I think people remember very well how she said, we have to change the school lunch programs across America. So you had this one-size-fits-all regime that came out of Washington, D.C. And I remember distinctly, I was in the state Senate at the time, there were school lunch directors that came to me. I mean, one stopped me at a gas station and said, you got to tell them not to do this, because we're going to waste so much food. You're going to see so much food go in the garbage can. We know how to feed these kids. We put out good, nutritious programs. Well, we see the same thing happening again. And to me, it's a symptom of a larger problem, and that is the micromanagement of people's lives from the federal level. And it's why our country has the challenges it has at this point. There's much bigger things for the Biden administration to be dealing with at this point. High cost of living, energy independence, the border, basically being a borderless country, crime. There's all these major issues that they could be dealing with, and they want to outlaw chocolate milk? It doesn't make sense.
Let's move from milk over to, I think this probably falls under the category of beef a little more, something introduced this week, the Prime Act. What's that?
Yeah, so primarily deals with both beef and pork. We've seen this consolidation of the meat packing industry. It's been a problem for a long time, but it continues to this day. And Representative Massey out of Kentucky has a proposal that would encourage small meat processors to go into business. And what I think follows from that is you're going to see some farmers that are ranchers that are willing to get into the business that may not grow as many cattle. Because when you have just the big operations, the big meat packers, they want those semi-loads coming in. And if you have smaller meat processors, they'll take those 2, 3, 4 cattle and process them. You know, we're really fortunate in Wisconsin because we have hundreds of these small meat processors, unlike many other states. And you just think about COVID, when some states, they were having to slaughter cattle because they couldn't, the major meat packers in a few instances were closed down. We didn't have that problem. In fact, they were coming to Wisconsin, some farmers, and saying, can you take my animals? So we're fortunate in that way, and I think we should facilitate that because it helps both, it helps a small processor stay in business, it helps small farmers, but it's also good for the consumer because you've got more choices then.
More choices. Does that set us up for this final act? We had the Milk Act, we had the Prime Act, the Farm Act, and there are, when we look at renewables and the green energy that's moving into basically the countryside, there are quite a few opportunities, options there, but you're addressing an issue maybe that most people aren't thinking about. Can you tell us?
Yeah, it comes from a little different angle, the Farm Act. And I refer to it as the green fantasy. We do not have the technology at this point to displace our base load power. Nuclear, natural gas, coal, we do not have it at this point. And it's being forced on the American public. And as a result, I mean, we see the results in California over the last decade. They've done it, and their power is on half the time. And they pay twice as much for it. Now, that's a little bit of hyperbole here, Tony, but it's not too far from the truth. And the Europeans are really paying a price for what they've done in Western Europe, where they're switching back to coal to be able to keep the lights on in Western Europe. So what we're addressing with the Farm Act is we're saying there are very rich subsidies that are given to developers in order to put in the wind and solar facilities. In fact, it comes to about $50,000 an acre. And what we're seeing is this conversion of farmland to wind and solar in, like, my home state of Wisconsin. And that wind and solar is only available about 20 to 25% of the time. I mean, when you're in northern Wisconsin, where I come from in the winter, the sun doesn't shine much. And so it really isn't an effective way. But what they're doing is they're converting farmland. And while production of energy is really important, a very important public policy challenge for us, growing food is the one thing that is more important. And we should not be converting our productive farmland into these intermittent sources of power that are only on 20 to 25% of the time. So that's what the Farm Act does. It says you cannot, you can build on farmland if you want to. You just don't get the $50,000 an acre subsidy. It should be able to stand on its own.
Co-sponsors on that as well? Do you have some support building on that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it is building, and it's actually building from the grassroots. I'm seeing in my district now, as we've talked about, we introduced this bill last session, didn't get much publicity. But we introduced it again this session. Now people are really talking about it more, and they're talking about it in the countryside because people fundamentally understand that growing food is fundamental to a society. And they're saying, you know, we get it. Farmers may get $1,000 an acre in that subsidy, but is that the best thing for our country? And I think you're going to see this continue to percolate over time. And this is a bill that, you know, I don't know if we'll be successful this session, but we're going to continue to introduce it. And there will come a time, I believe, when the American public's going to go, hold it. Are we doing the right thing here?
So good to see you. I know you've got a busy day of committee work. Thanks for carving out some time for us.
No, it's great to join you here today, Tony. Love to come back anytime and talk about these agricultural
issues.
Well,
good, because that's the next question. Will you come back and see us?
Always.
All right. It's the Honorable Tom Tiffany from the 7th Congressional District of Wisconsin and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.